This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, Halflings! It's me, Jasper William Cartwright, and I am joined today by...
Leander Natty Lewis Nyao, but everybody calls me Unnatty!
Yeah, and...
Jeremy Cobb, but Willa calls me... Jeremy Fasolati Cobb. That's a good one. That's a good one.
That is a very good one. Nice That's on the really pronunciation good. As well. I feel like you could have easily fumbled that one, but you nailed it. You did well.
Thank you. I guess maybe I should have sang it. Jeremy Fasolati Cobb.
There we go.
Yeah.
Better.
Yeah.
I retract my earlier statement and I'll give it to this pronunciation that you just did.
Yeah. It can be only one good pronunciation.
God.
This is the wrong dungeon and the wrong dragon.
Full prince vibe? Woof.
This makes them even more black.
Cake glitches and pitches.
And lands in the cusp of a teaspoon.
Oh, no.
On a nat 20.
No.
You think this is just a game?
That's disgusting and I love it.
Yeah. We're about to get into something real big now. How are you both doing? Are you good?
How's life? I'm doing really, really well. Yeah? Life is good.
Good?
Life is good.
Yeah. Life is indeed good. What is happening, what is exciting, is either has just come out or is just about to come out, not 100% sure, Paradox Perfect with the incredible Drac and Brenna Lee Mulligan, DM'd by our very own Jeremy Cobb, will be out, also starring Inati. How exciting.
Yeah.
That was a fucking hysterical.
Absolute lunacy.
I actually haven't even listened to this. At the time of recording, I haven't listened to this. I would have listened to this, but I haven't yet.
It's good.
And I'm very excited to listen.
I can tell you, it's pretty good. It's good.
Yeah. So I will be reacting along with you, the lovely listeners.
Some truly amazing interpretations of Desmond Tutu.
If that's not a reason to listen, then I don't know if we can provide you with a better one.
Yes.
I'll be honest.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
As well as a real person's name that you just won't believe, because I didn't believe it when I found out it was a real person.
Uh-huh.
And it was very funny to hear Brennan become audibly uncomfortable and the fact that this was a person's name in this game.
Yeah. And I'm DMing a thing for mermaids to raise funds for trans rights.
Oh my God, amazing. Very, very cool. That is happening. So today, it's another deep dive, everybody. That's right. Woo-hoo. And it's time to get real angry.
Yeah.
I feel like we need some like battle music or something here. I feel like it's impossible to talk about barbarians without some sort of like heavy metal riff in the background.
My favorite,
you know?
My favorite character theme song of all time from any of the games that I've ever DM'd. By far, for the character Ryan, shout out to Ryan,
hey.
His character Jarl, he's
who hasn't
a
died
Minotaur.
Or didn't die?
He died and then came back.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
He got
okay.
his
okay.
brain eaten and then he came back.
That tracks.
Yeah. But his Jarl, the Minotaur barbarian, his theme song was War Pigs by Black Sabbath. And
Very
really,
good.
Just within seconds, you know immediately who this person is. That's what I love about that. It's like, oh, yeah, no, right away, there's no other person who this could be. As soon as this song comes in,
having a good soundtrack for your character is a good way to get into character. I do enjoy that. So why don't we start off at the top with our barbarians? And so we have the best hit point dice in the game. Yay. You get that big old D12, yay, which makes sense, yeah, because you're going to be, yeah, up top getting smacked a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot. The whole point, you're in the tank. You are the tank. The
you
tank
are the
of
tank.
Tanks.
This is the tanky tank class. And and honestly, like, it, even with the other flavors that some of the subclasses give you, like, you're still the tank.
Yeah,
you're the tank. Like, you might have like another flavor, but you're still the tank.
Yeah,
you got a lot of hit points, and rage is one of the best abilities. We'll get onto that in a second. So you have proficiencies with light armor, medium armor, shields, hair, simple weapons, martial weapons, and your saving throws are strength and constitution. You, pretty straightforward. You want strength and constitution,
yes,
bonuses, yeah, for this, for, yeah, sure. You want to up that hit points as much as possible, and you will use your strength modifier for most of, if not all of your attacks.
I mean, you shouldn't be, I don't, yeah, think there are any barbarian abilities that use, yeah. I mean, you can use wield a rapier. Look, if you want to build, yeah, a non-optimized build, then go for it, as,
yeah,
always.
Absolutely, but, yeah, you definitely can.
This class is built for strength.
Yes, absolutely. It is very much built for strength. And you get to choose between animal handling, athletics, intimidation, nature, perception, or survival as your skills.
Oh, yeah. It's worth also saying you're not proficient, ooh, with heavy armor.
Yes. No,
you're meant to be, yeah, only light armor or medium armor.
Is it? Yes. Well, I'll say this bit now. Unarmored defense is one of the abilities you get, I believe, right off the bat.
Yes. So even, yeah.
Yes.
It does, I think...
Yeah, right off the bat. And so that basically means that your armor class becomes 10 plus your dex plus your con modifier.
So the one area you would use dex for, basically.
Yeah, that is one area you would use dex for. But if you have good constitution, then, you know, you're probably looking at, I reckon you'd want to aim for like a 15 without armor, a 15, 16, something like that is probably pretty good for a barbarian, especially when you're starting out. And with this thrown in there, it doesn't really matter. Because rage.
Yes.
Is it safe to say this is one of the best class abilities in the game? I think it is.
Yeah, I think one of the most defining class features, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it is good. It's a good ability.
It's so good, mechanically. So, whilst in a rage, you can rage as a bonus action, which is always very good. So don't forget, this is going to be my tips right at the top here. Do not forget to rage, barbarians. I have played a barbarian, I think, twice now, and both times I have forgotten to rage at a key moment. Do not forget, it will save your life. It will save the lives of others. Mm-hmm. You will do more damage. It's just don't forget to rage as a bonus action, everyone.
And also, it just feels hella good to just go, I bonus action rage.
Yeah. I would like...
The famous Grog Strongjaw. I would like to rage.
To rage. I'm kind of annoyed at Travis for that, because it's like... Come on, like, it's such a, like, it's like such a simple but now iconic thing, and every time you use it, it's like, well, it just feels like I'm ripping off Critical Role, and I'm not, because it's just like, that is the phrase, do you know what I mean? It's just a good phrase. I like it. So with the with rage, you get advantage on strength checks and strength saving throws. So also kind of fun out of combat as well. Like, if you've got a big thing that you really need to do, like you need to lift a thing or you need to throw a thing or break a thing, chuck a rage in there. It's good. You also get to, when you make a weapon attack using your strength modifier, you gain a bonus to the damage that increases as you gain levels in barbarian. I think it's like, is it your Is it kind of go with your proficiency modifier? I don't know.
No.
Something like that.
It goes slower.
Is it scaled differently?
Yeah, it scales slower.
Okay, it goes slower.
Oh, wait, no. Are you right? No, it does not scale.
It
scales slower. It scales slower.
It does scale slower. Yeah, it does. It doesn't go all the way up to 6. It just ends up to a plus 4. Great. And then you also get, and this is the big one, you get resistance to bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing damage.
I mean, yeah.
At early levels, we've discussed this before, this nigh on doubles your hit points.
Yeah.
Like, at early levels, it's nigh on doubles the amount of hit points you have. And you already have more hit points than everyone else in your party.
Even against spellcasters, a lot of spells will still deal some version of, like, bludgeoning, slashing, or piercing damage.
So it's just an outrageous ability. Like, it's a really, really good ability and makes the tank viable, I think. It makes it very, very viable.
It's worth saying, the dungeon dudes, I shout them out a lot on this, on these sections. They did a video in which they tried to determine the highest damage martial class. And they discovered that actually one of the barbarian subclasses, specifically, this is up through level 11, because they were like, most campaigns don't go past that point. So we were just looking if with the base features of the class, what build is going to be the most damaging, like damage on a output? consistent basis. So while none of the barbarians have burst damage that can match the paladin or the rogue, terms of consistency, I won't say which barbarian subclass it is, but there is a specific barbarian subclass that is the highest damaging, that is basically the highest damaging build, basic build in the game.
Are we going to talk about this subclass today, Jeremy?
We can. I was thinking about it.
Okay, cool. I see where you're going. And then, so the only thing with rage is that there are limits in terms of staying in your rage. It lasts for a minute, but it ends early if you are knocked unconscious. If you haven't attacked or been attacked in a round. So that's not like on your turn or anything like that. It just means that you have to like take damage. Is it take damage?
Yeah, taken damage. You do end up, I think, with rare situations. I've never seen it in a game, but rare situations where if you're actually keeping track of this, the barbarian will end up attacking themselves. They'll use like an unarmed strike to just punch themselves in the face to stay in rage.
Yeah, punching themselves in the face or something. Yeah, which to be honest is that's fucking hilarious. So yeah.
That's great.
I'm fine with that. I would definitely rule my barbarian I could do that. And you have like a certain amount of rages per level.
Yeah.
It's like 2, goes up to 6, and then we'll talk about what happens when you get up to level 20.
Before we go any further, this is why barbarians are bad at multi-classing with spellcasters, because if you are raging, you cannot cast spells or concentrate on spells while raging. Yeah. That's a very important thing to remember before you go out there trying to build a barbarian wizard build.
However, the druid barbarian is a very potent multi-class because you, especially if you pick moon druid, circle of the moon druid, you can rage whilst in your wild shape.
Yes,
which means you can do some devastating damage, especially at higher levels, and you're then reducing all of your you've still got resistance to all the bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing damage, but like as a woolly mammoth or something, which already has an insane amount of hit points, which doesn't. Then take away from your hit points when you revert back elemental. To being yourself.
You can rage as like an earth elemental later.
Yeah. Which means
that's
you get bonuses to damage and all kinds.
Yeah.
And it gets even more wild when you take into the next ability, which is Reckless Attack.
Oh, we didn't do Danger Sense, though. We didn't do Danger Sense.
Oh, did we not do Danger Sense?
Danger Sense, this is a second level. You gain, basically, you get advantage on dex saves against effects you can see, such as traps and spells.
I want to clarify, Reckless Attack on my screen is above Danger Sense, just... so I was like, I was getting it. just wanted to clarify that I hadn't skipped anything there.
I think mine's in alphabetical order according to level.
I see.
Let's say what Danger Sense is and what Reckless Attack is at the exact same time, since we're both correct.
Okay, ready?
Yes.
3, 2, 1.
Okay, so with Danger Sense,
you
get advantage on deck saving throws, because the fact you can see like traps and spells.
No! My brain!
And in order to gain that benefit, you cannot be blinded, deafened, or incapacitated.
Oh, dear. So, yeah.
Fireballs. It's really annoying, honestly, when you have barbarians being like, I still have advantage on this fireball save. As a DM, it's just like, okay.
Yeah, annoying.
Dude, that's barbarians, annoying. By the way, the smarmiest, when you start being like, so that's going to be 42 points, or that's going to be 12 points of damage, and they're like,
and they're
halved.
Like, 6.
Halved. Is that half?
Is that half, my dude?
That's why I pre-have. I pre-have the damage.
Yeah.
Because I'm
that's
like,
pre-halve.
You don't get a chance.
Yeah. The thing is, that is the way. Like, this is definitely a good tip for a DM. Definitely pre-halve. Because then when you say, it does 40 something points of damage, and they're like halved, I'm like, that was halved. And they're like, the rest of the party will suddenly completely lose it. Like,
you see the colors drain from their faces.
Yeah, like, the wizard will immediately run.
Yeah, that song, that meme, run. running away.
That is exactly it. That is exactly it. Great meme. Also at second level, you get Reckless Attack. Love a bit of Reckless Attack. This basically means that you get advantage on your attack by swinging wildly, but it also means that because you've swung wildly, you leave yourself more open to attacks, and therefore attacks against you also then get advantage until the until your next turn.
And you need to use it on your first attack. If you're activating Reckless Attack, it says when you make your first attack on your turn, you decide to attack recklessly. So if you have two attacks, or in some cases, depending on the subclasses, three attacks, you have advantage on all melee weapon attacks.
Yeah.
That use strength, actually. Specifically, melee weapon attacks using strength during this turn. But then all attack rolls against you have advantage until your next turn.
Yeah, honestly, with this one, like, the amount I've played, it's like seeing barbarians or having a barbarian in my party, like, it's never actually as much of a drawback as I think it's going to be for a barbarian when they get attacked with advantage. Because, a lot again, if you're halving all of this damage that you're taking, if you have a half-decent AC, like, even with advantage, like, this, you're probably, unless you are surrounded by, like, multiple enemies.
Unless you're Ongenigama, where you're playing with one other character who's a ranged character.
That's why I was like,
I'm not gonna do that.
If you are, like, the absolute focus for like multiple people, then maybe don't do it. But if you're like one-on-one with someone, go ham with the Reckless. Like, there's very little downside to it, and it increases your chances like critting as well, like a lot. Like I mean, you only have to go listen to the end of campaign one of NADPOD, and you'll understand what Reckless attack,
especially
can do.
if you multi-class into fighter and get champion, that is bonkers. So you're critting on a 19 or a 20, and then you have advantage on all your melee weapon attacks.
Yep. Yeah. Could be wild. Good. So then as we move along, we have Primal Path, which is basically the path that you choose your subclass, which is pretty straightforward. You get ability score improvements at 4th, 8th, 12th, 16th, and 19th level. I don't know how that stacks up compared to other classes. It seems pretty good. It's not quite, ain't the fighter, it's pretty good.
Also, wait, I'm going to throw out, you get the optional Tasha's feature at third level, Primal Knowledge. Yes. When you reach third level and again at 10th level, you gain proficiency in one skill of your choice from the list of skills available to barbarians at first level. So you get to get some more skills if you so choose, and your DM is fine with it.
Nice way of giving other options to play barbarians, because it's
usually just pure combat. I think that's designed for combat.
Yes, yeah. It's a bit like, they still haven't fixed it necessarily with the fighter, but we can talk about when we get to the fighter. But like, I think more options for the martial classes out of combat is good, is useful.
Yeah,
because like I played a fighter recently, I was like, outside of combat, these guys.
Can be a little lacking.
Yeah. I've got to rely on some very good rolls here. I haven't got a whole lot else. So then at fifth level, you get an extra attack, which is always good. You also get to increase your speed at fifth level by 10 feet when you aren't wearing heavy armor. I mean, considering you're probably not going to be wearing heavy armor anyway, because I should imagine that
you're not proficient in it unless you took the feat.
You're not proficient in it. And also, you're going to be, you know, at level 5, you're probably not going to have enough gold to purchase like full plate armor or anything like that. So that's very good, because then you're looking for most species or races, you're looking at a 40 feet of movement. And let me tell you, for a barbarian, an extra 10 feet of movement real comes in handy.
Closing the distance.
Goes back to that smugness, you know? I'm afraid they're actually 30 feet away. They're like 40 feet away from you. Good, because my movement is 40 feet. God damn it. I should have said 50. Damn it.
Or another reason why barbarian is a good multi-class with the rogue, if you have cunning action and you're like, cool, I'm going to dash as a bonus action. I can go 80 feet this turn. And then I still have two attacks.
My word. And if you rolled well in initiative and you get assassin in there and you're, oh man, it's just a mess.
I think you get an advantage on initiative rolls or something with, am I wrong about this?
That might be one of the optional features.
I think you might eventually get advantage on initiative rolls. Yeah, you do. Yeah. That's actually the next ability, Feral Instinct. Seventh level,
Feral Instinct.
You get
there
advantage on initiative rolls. And also, if you are surprised at the beginning of combat and aren't incapacitated, you can act normally on your turn, but only if you enter your rage before doing anything else.
Yeah.
So you just get so angry that they've surprised you that you get to still act normally.
Just, Still act normally.
Yes.
Yeah. Very, very, very cool. Also, now I'm thinking about it as well, makes the rogue subclass, like the rogue multi-class, pretty deadly, because if you use reckless attack, you'll always get sneak attack. Yeah. Not on every attack, obviously, but like you would get on each once per turn, you would get
especially if you dual wield like a rapier and then like a long sword. So you sneak attack with the rapier because it has to be a finesse weapon. And then you attack with the long sword.
And if you're multi-classing into the rogue, you probably have good dex as well, which will up your armor class. Oh, I've just found my next build.
Rogue Barian is a notoriously good combo.
That Robarian's. I might call my character Robarian. I thought that's a cool name.
Robarian?
Robarian
the Barbarian.
The Barbarian.
Also, instinctive pounce. This is an optional feature at 7th level. As part of the bonus action you take to enter your rage, you can move up to half your speed in case you needed any more movement.
In case you needed to get around.
Yeah.
And that's also, we should say, that's part of the Barbarian. Part of being the tank is that you need to be able to break through lines. You need to be able to get up all in the face of whatever's going on. And if you've dropped one, you need the ability to then go and, you know, get up in the face and the grill of someone else. Because
all of your weapons are strength. All of your main abilities are running off of strength, which means you have no ranged options for most barbarian subclasses, unless you have like a javelin or something. But that's usually not going to be as good as getting up in somebody's face.
Well, I don't know how most DMs would treat it, but like I don't think I would give you like 10 javelins. Like that would be unwieldy. Like maybe 3 at best you could probably have on yourself at like a time. Like so unless you've got some sort of magical item or something.
You just all like, you have is javelins. You just have like 15 javelins, or you have like 50 javelins in like a huge bundle on your back. And just but there's a limit to how far you can throw javelins anyway, and that's still running off of dex, which is just not as good of a stat for most barbarians.
Yeah. So. Yeah, absolutely. So, and then we have at level 9, we have Brutal Critical.
You gotta roll the R.
This is
Brutal Critical.
Brutal Critical. This is at 9th level. You can roll 1 additional weapon damage dice when determining the extra damage on a critical hit with a melee attack, which increases to 2 at 13th level and 3 at 17th level.
Pretty good.
This is obscene. You are usually attacking with a D12 weapon if you're a barbarian, because you'll have like
or like 2D6.
Greatsword 2d6, or a like a great axe, I think, is a d12.
Yeah, great axe is d12. A lot of things are d10s. So, you may have a d10.
Yeah, like that's a lot, potentially a lot of damage. Yeah.
If you're adding another 6d6 at 17th level, that can make some difference over multiple rounds. Now, of course, you have to be critting on that, but still, it's not bad.
But still, with reckless.
Yeah.
You know, chances. It's not, it increases your chances. Then we have Relentless Rage at level 11. And this is where you keep your rage, you can keep your rage fighting.
Basically, if you drop to 0 hit points, you don't go down.
There we go.
You can make a con save, a DC 10 con save, which
DC
is
10.
By 11th level, you should have a con save modifier. You have already a +4 because your proficiency bonus. You should have at least a +3 in constitution, preferably +4 or +5. You're looking at like a +7, a +8, a +9 to this.
So you if you've got a +9, it's literally impossible for you to not succeed.
Yeah. If you succeed, you drop to 1 hit point instead. And then each time you use this feature after the first, the DC increases by 5. When you finish a short or long rest, the DC resets to 10. But that's so crazy. You just don't go down. You refuse to go down.
I love this. This for me is the barbarian. You know what I mean? Mm. This is like the Boromir staying on his feet, taking the arrows. This is that moment. Yeah. And this is the Uruk-hai taking the arrows to the shoulder and running at the wall of Helm's Deep.
He just won't stop. Legolas is critting on him repeatedly.
His ranger is going the ham. This Gloomstalker ranger is going ham on this guy, and he's just not going down. I absolutely love it. Like, why won't you die?
He's like, Legolas, kill him! Just screaming slow motion. That's such a great scene. You're like, honestly, gonna do it.
I can still picture it so incredibly clearly in my mind that moment, because it's just like
when you see him turn the corner with the Chariots of Fire playing, he's got the torch, he's here to light the torch for the opening of the Olympic Games.
But the thing is, I think as well, it's such a shocking moment because I hadn't read the books, whatever, because I don't know how old I was. But like, I remember being like, oh, this isn't going to happen. They're not going to do that because then they'd lose. Then the good guys would, oh God! Such a like horrific moment where I was like, my naive child brain, I was like, no, that can't happen. That can't happen. Gandalf's coming, right? Right? Oh God.
At dawn on the third day.
Yeah, exactly. So that is Relentless Rage. Then we have, that's just that again. We have Persistent Rage at level 15, where your rage is so fierce that it only ends early if you fall unconscious or choose to end it. So basically, this just means you don't now have to attack or be attacked in this particular
round.
You just
walk around angry.
Yeah, just really angry, getting advantage on strength saves for a minute.
Yeah.
Strength checks.
Basically Jason Statham.
What was like Krang or whatever it is, where he has like get shocked. But it's like you get over that thing.
Yeah, he's like a barbarian monk.
Oh dear. So then at level 18 you get Indomitable Might. If your total for a strength check is less than your strength score, you can use the score in place of the total. Damn.
Which is, that's different from like reliable talent, where it's like, it becomes 10 plus your modifier. This is just your strength score. So by this point, it should be 20.
Yeah.
If your total
by level 18, it's 20.
Yeah, you gotta hope.
You're not rolling less than a dirty 20, effectively.
Yeah.
Like that's, you know, that's just it. Yep. That's, you just,
fun times.
You know, crit on your strength checks, everyone. it's like, you know, I probably wouldn't class it as a crit because you didn't roll it like on the dice, but I mean, it's still.
Yeah, it's just a 20 total as opposed to like a.
I can't think of many checks that you've failed in that instance. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, what are you lifting now? Are you lifting the earth?
Yeah, exactly. You've got to be lifting something pretty strong. Not to mention as well, there are items and things that could take you above 20. Like, if you got yourself, like, a belt of hill giant strength or something, that takes you up to, like, a 23 or a 24 or something stupid.
Well,
so,
speaking of taking you above 20, the 20th level ability of this class, Primal Champion, at 20th level, your strength and constitution scores increase by 4. Your max for those scores is now 24. So if you had maxed them both out already, you now have a plus 7 to strength and a plus 7 to constitution, which means that you have a plus 13 to constitution saving throws.
Sweet.
And a plus 13 to like athletics checks, for example, if you're proficient.
And plus 13 to hit, but probably more if you've got a
magic weapon. Yeah. Yeah.
My word. Take Great Weapon Master, everyone. Minus 5 from your attack. You still get a plus 8, and you do an extra 10 points of damage on top of the already ludicrous amounts of damage you're already doing at this level.
Yeah.
Wowzers.
They're good at killing, man. Barbarians
really
are built for war.
Big tanks.
Big tanks. Why don't we dig into some subclasses, shall we? Let me just see if there's anything else
we should
just
talk
clarify
about quickly
on the table.
With races. If you're not using, obviously, as we always mention, if you're not using any kind of like Tasha's Cauldron of Everything optional rules, some races that you might consider, anything that has a strength, like a big strength, like a plus 2 to strength bonus. And especially if it has a plus 2 to strength and a plus to constitution. If it has a plus to both strength and constitution, you're in really good shape.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And so, if you're using the optional Tasha's features, that's where you want to put your optional like adds. So I think the half-orc has that. I think it's exactly that. It's a plus 2
Dragonborn
to strength,
has,
plus 1 to...
Yeah, half-orc is built to be barbarian. That's what they're built for. Because they even have... They have Relentless Endurance, Savage Attacks. Like, they're really good. The Relentless Endurance means that I think you can roll it's similar, actually, to... The barbarian ability where you can just roll a con save, and but instead I think it doesn't require a save. You just get
You don't need to save. You just come back.
Yeah, you just choose to drop to one hit point. But then Dragonborn get a +2 to strength. Shout out to the Hill Dwarf. First of all, the Duergar Dwarf gets a +1 to strength and a +2 to constitution. All dwarves get a +2 to constitution, meaning like that's already a good choice. But the
Apologies. I just realized, well, half orc with the savage attacks, that's like the same as
brutal critical.
So you're basically looking at rolling. Even at like 5th level or whatever it is, or 9th level or whatever it is, you're doubling your crit.
Yeah.
You're doubling a regular crit. Where you'd roll at 1d12 for attack damage normally, you would now roll
3.
4. No, because you double it anyway because you've crit.
Mm-hmm.
You roll an additional 1 for brutal critical, then you roll in another 1 for savage attack.
Oh, you're right, yeah.
So you'd roll 4.
You're right.
4d12s or something potentially.
Man.
That is wild. Yeah,
24d6. Not 24d6. Wow. I'm gonna leave 8d6. It's still like a fireball, though. It's a fireball.
24d6. I'm like, I'm sorry.
It's a fireball.
24d6.
I think it does just say one additional die of the damage type.
But it's type, so you'd add the two. It's of the weapon's damage type. So it's two. You'd add the 2d6.
If you have still for add a great, the 2d6?
Yeah. If you crit with a great sword, you add 2d6. Then with brutal critical, you add another 2d6. And then with let me check the language of savage attack. I think
it may be that you roll one additional die of the damage type. That's I think what it says.
That would be a shame.
You can roll one of the weapon's dice one additional time.
I think what that's supposed to mean is the 2d, because you get to roll 2d6, because I think you'd get to roll both, because normally that you would only roll one die anyway with most weapons.
Sure. I mean, look, hey, I'd
allow
it.
Yeah, talk to your DM, I guess.
Yeah,
talk to
your DM. See
if Jerry Crawford clarified it and see if you want to use that.
Yeah.
But come on.
Shout out to the Leonin.
Fireball. You got a fireball with your great axe.
Sword. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Mountain Dwarf, this is what I want to say. Mechanically speaking, the single best barbarian choice, because you get a +2 to strength and a +2 to constitution.
Ooh, what?
Yeah. Mountain dwarves get a +2 to strength and a +2 to constitution.
Huh?
Yeah.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
What? I think they're the only sub race or race that gets a +4.
Wow. But do they have like a lack of other abilities, maybe?
Yes.
Like if they get
is a proficiency with light and medium armor and a +2 to strength. Nothing else. Okay.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah. Very cool. Very, very cool.
But I mean, for a barbarian, you can't go, can't do much better. Half orc. Yeah. Orc is another one. +2 to strength, +1 to constitution. Mm-hmm. You get some cool aggressive and stuff like that. Reduce a creature to 0 hit points, you can move like half your movement towards another creature or something like that.
Do you say Goliath already?
No. Goliath, that is a good one, because it's +2.
Stone's endurance is good.
Leonin, +2 to con, +1 to strength.
Yeah.
Big and hefty.
Yeah.
Anything with some heft to it.
Bugbear is good.
Yeah, especially with that sneaky, the surprise attack as well. That could be real fun if you've got a lot of movement.
And if you're a rogue barbarian.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, a turtle. Turtle barbarian. Solid choice.
Yeah, that could be hella fun.
Yeah. A centaur barbarian could work.
Yeah.
And of course, a minotaur barbarian, which is a +2 to strength, +1 to con.
Good.
Goring rush, horns, hammering horns.
Warforged would be very good.
Yeah, Warforged.
Because I'm pretty sure they then get some crazy AC bonuses as well. Yeah,
what does a Warforged get? +2 to con, and +1 to one other ability score. +2
to con and then one other thing, so you could choose. You get a +1 to your armor class, so you can't like remove your armor and all that kind of thing as well. So, I mean, it could be very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Finally, Lokatha, if you want to play a Lokatha, +2 to strength.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Very cool. Very, very cool. I mean, you could easily, you know, play against type with this one. You know, I quite like the idea of a Loxodon barbarian. I feel like that could be hella fun. But now I really want to play a rogue barbarian. So, That would be real fun.
Rogue Barians, man, they're good.
Rogue Barians.
Also, another thing with the Lokatha, they have the natural armor thing, as do Tortles. So, you know, you could potentially... Yeah. You can only use one, by the way. This is a clarification. Those don't stack.
Any of it.
You can't stack unarmored defense with natural armor.
I have an armor class of 31, DM.
Yeah, that's just like, silly.
Nothing can penetrate.
That's frankly silly.
That would be absolutely ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. Great. So... how about we dig into some of these subclasses for our barbarian?
The primal paths.
So I kick us off with Path of the Beast. I got to play Path of the Beast recently, and my gosh, it is very, very cool. I was a big fan. I was a very big fan. So, a barbarian who walks the Path of the Beast draws their rage from the bestial spark burning within their soul. The beast that bursts forth in the throes of rage, physically transforming the barbarian. They give a little origin for the beast table, I think, here, which is like a good jumping off point. I think for you to then draw what, you know, so there's like things like one of your parents is like a lycanthrope.
This is from Tasha's Cauldron, by the way. We should specify.
Thank you very much. You are descendant of like an arch druid. You have a fey gift or an ancient animal spirit dwells within you. So there's some really cool flavor there. I really like the flavor of this.
When is this coming out?
When is this coming out?
Yeah. When is this coming out?
Oh, this episode?
Yeah.
Oh, right. This is coming out 23rd of August.
Great. So, little teaser for our upcoming season, which is just about to premiere.
Ooh.
We actually have a beast barbarian in the season.
Oh, damn. Oh, damn. And the flavoring, again, is very cool.
Yes, very completely cool. Different from any of the suggested origins that they give.
Absolutely. Miles different. And personally, can't wait to see them, especially at high levels, because they're going to absolutely slap. So, you get Form of the Beast at third level, which is your first path feature. Which is when you enter your rage, you could transform, revealing a bestial power within you. Until your rage ends, you manifest a natural weapon. It counts as a simple weapon, adds a strength modifier, yada yada, uses all the same attack bonuses that you would with rage. So you get bite, so your mouth transforms into a bestial muzzle, or like mandibles, which kind of cool if you want to go for a bit of an insect flavor.
What about a toothy maw for all of our Critical Role fans?
Oh yeah, yeah, a toothy maw. And this deals
toothy
one
more.
How dare you? I feel attacked.
Want more?
It's definitely Friday.
Can I please have some more? This deals 1d8 piercing damage on a hit, and once on each of your turns, when a creature takes damage from your bite, you can regain the number of hit points equal to your proficiency bonus, provided you have less than half of your hit points.
You can eat a person.
You can eat a person and regain hit points
from eating them. Essentially, or suck their juices.
I mean, you can flavor that in a lot of ways. You know, you could do life. It could be life force if you don't want to be a vampire. If you don't have that flavor. Yeah.
I just think you should be eating people.
Yeah.
Just embrace it, man.
However, I would recommend, I really like this one. The claws, I think, are pretty cool. So you get, this is a D6 of damage. However, on each of your turns, when you attack with your claws, you can, using an attack action, you can make one additional attack as the part of the same action. So that jumps you up from 2 attacks per round as a barbarian. At level 5.
From fifth level onwards
to 3. Or at this point, at third level, you go from 1 to 2. And hey, look, two chances to do damage and add your modifier, strength modifier. If it's pretty high, it's very good damage output. And for me, outweighs the D8, you know, because rolling a D8. I think it's mathematically going to work out better for
you. Even if you attack twice, at 2D8, let's say you have like 2D8 plus 4 plus 4. Mm. So like 2D8 plus 8. I think 3D6 plus 12
is definitely
superior.
Yeah, for sure. And then you also get tail, growing out a lashing spiny tail, which does 1D8 piercing damage. And on a hit, it has the reach property, which I guess means
you get that 10 feet. You hit people from 10 feet away.
Yeah. And
long tail.
And if you see a creature within 10 feet of you that you hit with an attack roll, you can use your reaction to swipe your tail and roll a d8, applying the bonus to your AC. Applying equal to your AC. Jesus, I fumbled that. Thank you very
much. You get to add, basically, if somebody attacks you and they hit you, you get to roll as your reaction. You can swipe your tail and try to block the attack, rolling a D8 and basically adding that to your AC.
Yes, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it could be 1 or it could be 8. Your AC could jump up by 8. Yeah. And then you could potentially cause the attack to miss you.
Even if you just take an average roll of, let's say it's 3 or 4, that's a good chance, especially at third level, of making something miss you. So
yeah.
I think it's pretty good. And the thing is, as far as I'm concerned, anything that gives you an extra reaction is always a good thing. I think reactions are they're so goddamn useful. If you can pack your character with useful reaction stuff, it's always a good thing. So then you get Bestial Soul at 6th level. The feral power within you increases, causing your natural weapons of the form of the beast to count as magical for the purposes of overcoming resistances and immunities from non-magical attacks and damage. And you can also alter your form to help you adapt to your surroundings. So basically, you can alter your form to give you a climbing speed equal to your walking speeds. You can climb up difficult surfaces, including up and down ceilings and all that kind of thing. Jumping.
Like spider climb, basically.
Yes. Spider climb, yeah, but it's you're not expending expending a rage, I guess, but you're not expending anything else. You also then get jumping as well, where you can
you don't expend a rage. That's just when you finish a short or long rest, you just have that.
Oh yes,
you just have that.
This is very true. Yeah, so awesome. You can just change this. This is very
You can just have a climbing speed.
Have a climbing speed, or you can have you can increase your jumping. You can make when you make an athletics check to jump by a number equal to the check's roll. You can make this. You can only make this check.
You don't normally make an athletics check to jump. Mm. It basically this means you can roll an athletics check.
That
and
makes
then
a lot of sense.
Add then that number is a number of feet, additional feet that you can.
Yes.
So if you have a plus 6 or something to athletics, and then you roll and you get a 16, you can basically jump an additional 16 feet.
Woo! Nice. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. You only do that once per turn, but yeah.
That's pretty cool. I quite like the idea of I've got to roll above a 15 here or I'm going to fall in the chasm. that's kind of fun.
I'm just going to jump a quick 30 feet.
Let me just pop a quick 30 feet and up in here.
But you also get it. There's another ability that you get.
You also get swimming. You can also have swimming. So you can get a swimming speed equal to your walking speed, and you can breathe underwater.
So that's 40 feet for all of these. Mm. If you're playing, I think a barbarian by this level, walking speed has increased.
Yes, if it's I think you get that at 5th level.
Yeah, starting at 5th level, yeah. So you would have a 40-foot swim speed or a 40-foot climbing speed.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's pretty useful. Then at 10, you get Infectious Rage. So when you hit a creature with natural weapons whilst you're raging, the beast within you can curse a target with rabid fury. They must succeed a wisdom saving throw or suffer one of the following effects. You can make a target use its reaction to make a melee attack against another creature that you can see. Pretty cool, especially if you're up against a high level something and it fails that whiz save. I mean, that could do some damage to one of its allies or squash a minion or something. Or it could just straight up take 2d12 of psychic damage.
Yeah, very cool.
I do like that.
That's
a barbarian dealing psychic damage. Who would have thunk?
Who would have thunk? And also,
and the DC for that. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that then makes you a lot more viable against those, some of those slightly trickier, especially mid-range monsters. When you get around this area of 10 through 15, there's a lot of those monsters who have resistances and little things which are very annoying, which you probably struggle to overcome as a barbarian at this level. So being able to do psychic damage, I think, is very useful. Lots of different ways to flavor this, which I really enjoy.
Yes.
Yeah. And it sounds... Oh, you can... Okay, so you can use the feature a number of times equal to your proficiency bonus.
Mm.
I was going to say, how often can you use this?
Yeah, yeah, no, it's not all the time, because that would be absolutely
be
wild.
Really good.
But I don't think it says anything about using it more than once per turn. So,
Oh, that's true, yeah.
So you could easily be doing
when you hit a creature with your natural weapons while you're raging.
Yeah, so if you have claws out, you could be doing... You could do this 3 times to one creature, and if they failed twice, that's 4d12.
Oh my gosh, 6d12.
Or 6d12.
If you attack three times.
Plus all your damage, plus all your normal damage.
Yeah.
That's, a lot. It's a lot of damage. Yeah. If you're going for that Hail Mary turn where you just need to get rid of this thing, it's going to help.
Yep.
Gonna help.
Oh, and then the wisdom save DC is 8 plus your con modifier plus your proficiency bonus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So hopefully I would say around, 10th level, your proficiency is plus 4?
Yeah. So it should be 15, 16.
Something like that. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Especially if you're up against other, like, creatures, you know?
Yeah.
Because they don't tend to have, like, the highest
wisdom.
Yeah.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So then we get Call of the Hunt. The beast within you grows so powerful that you can spread its ferocity to others and gain resilience from them joining your hunt. When you enter a rage, you can choose a number of willing creatures you can see within 30 feet equal to your constitution modifier, minimum of 1, which again, hopefully should easily, at this point, should easily be a plus 4. Like, what you doing if it's not a plus 4? You gain 5 temporary hit points for each creature that accepts this feature, and until the rage ends, the chosen creatures can each use one of the following benefits on each of their turns. When a creature hits a target with an attack roll and deals damage, the creature can roll a d6 and gain a bonus to damage equal to the number rolled. Pretty good.
Yeah,
you've got a fighter like, in there, you know, that's, you know, giving, that's basically,
it's like Hunter's Mark.
That's gonna say, that's, it's giving everyone Hunter's Mark on every attack that they do against everything.
Yeah, with no, like, concentration.
Yeah, which, so it's very, it's actually very good.
Yeah, and your rage, I think, by this level cannot end early. Unless you choose to. Yeah,
yeah,
what does it say? Oh, no, that's level 15. So within a level
of this.
Okay,
within a level, sure.
Your rage ends early only if you fall unconscious or if you choose to end it.
Yeah, that's
pretty good.
Very good, I think. And you can use this equal to your proficiency bonus, and you gain all expended slots at the end of a long rest. So that's the path of the beast. I really like it. I think it's full of flavor. Yeah. I think it does hecka damage, which I really like. I think the natural weapons are pretty cool. I think the only downside I might say is that, like, it is kind of built around the natural weapons, and if you wanted to flavor it with other stuff, that might be there's, like, I don't know, there's potential that it might feel a little, like, restrictive in that you couldn't, like, upgrade your sword, or because I don't know if you could
upgrade. Plus one weapons,
that's the sort of thing I mean, like, or even, you know, just going for a fancy something, you know what I mean,
because they,
like,
don't scale.
They don't scale, so that's the only kind of downside. But again, I think if you spoke to your DM, you know, you could get some you know, claw, you know, yeah. some fancy adamantine claws, or
just carry a magic weapon and then use the weapons for the extra features.
I mean, they will count as magical, though. I do think they do count as magical.
Oh no, but I mean like a +1, +2, that sort of thing.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Like
something that
maybe even one of the like really higher by 14th level or higher. Maybe you're getting some like swords that have spells in them and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Just go for those belts of giant strength. Just aim for those, because if you get those with this, then you're laughing.
You're like a +7.
Yeah. Get some crazy bonus to your damage output on these claws, and then just be hitting for days.
Yeah.
That's the beast, Jeremy.
Yeah, it's a good subclass.
It's a good subclass.
But arguably not as good as this next one.
Yeah, this is true.
This one is The Path of the Zealot.
Damn.
Which is from Xanathar's Guide to Everything. It is actually when the Dungeon Dudes did their test to see which of the classes would do the martial classes would do the most damage consistently. Path of the Zealot, and you're about to hear why. So essentially, the Path of the Zealot is similar to like it's like you're going into a religious trance. Like it's sort of like a berserker paladin.
I was gonna say it's like an extreme version of the paladin.
Yeah, you're just you're like in this rage filled
you
like,
are literally
ecstatic
blinded
state.
By the light. That's what it is.
it brings the religious sort of flavor. So if you want your character to be like in a religious fervor or something like that, if you want some kind of preacher barbarian,
yeah,
who just
you
goes
also,
out of control,
you could also just straight go for like that. They just have a pretty tight bond with their deity, and the deity just fully just channels their energy through them. Do you know what I mean? And whilst doing that, they're not really in control. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I thought that would be quite a fun flavor for this.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff with this. But starting at third level, you get Divine Fury. It's like mini smite. While you're raging, the first creature that you hit on each of your turns with a weapon attack takes extra damage equal to 1d6 plus half your barbarian level. This extra damage is necrotic or radiant. You choose the type of damage when you gain this feature.
Ooh,
nice.
That's good.
Very nice.
So, you pick one type of damage that you're going to be doing like when you get at third level, but still. That's...
Hey, look, you probably have some idea of what kind of campaign you're going into, whether, you know, normally it's like, well, am I going to be fighting demons or angels?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what I was
like. That's basically like a hunter's mark again.
Yeah, a free hunter's mark
for a barbarian. Barbarian.
Well, it's better than a hunter's mark because you're doing a plus to the damage as well.
True, like especially at higher levels.
You effectively have a modifier.
Yeah, by the time you get to like level six, you're doing 1d6 plus 3. That's like another attack.
It's spicy.
By 20th level, that's 1d6 plus 10.
Well, it's better than another attack because you don't have to roll for it again. You've already hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you get Warrior of the Gods also at third level. Basically, if a spell such as Raise Dead has the sole effect of restoring you to life, but not on death, they don't need material components to cast the spell on you.
Wow.
It's just really nice. Easy to bring you back.
That's really cool. Nice. As the barbarian, you probably will go down at some point.
Yeah.
Yep.
And probably be on the front lines. Like if the enemy wants to make a point by killing someone, you're out of there.
See, that's what's ridiculous about this subclass. It does so much damage, but it's also unkillable. Sixth level, you get Fanatical Focus. If you fail a saving throw while raging, you can re-roll it, and you must use the new roll. You can only use this ability once per rage. But like, how often do you fail saving throws, like, say, wisdom saves as a barbarian or intelligence saves?
Yeah,
and now you can be like, maybe not.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, is it similar to Indomitable? I think it is.
Yeah,
it's like the fighter's ability,
Indomitable. Pretty much exactly the same, I think, as Indomitable. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess this is a slight caveat that you have to be raging whilst you do it. But I mean,
yeah. But you get it once per rage, which scales as you get to higher levels. By level 20, you have unlimited rages. So that means you have unlimited like battles in which you can just do this.
Yeah. You could even if you didn't have a whole lot of bonus actions, you could just drop rage and then like re-up it. Like,
because that's true.
You can drop it as a free action, right?
Yeah. I think you can end it as a bonus action.
Oh, okay. You can end it as a bonus action. Oh, okay. Maybe.
Still, I guess.
But even still, yeah. Yeah.
Then at 10th level, you get Zealous Presence. As a bonus action, you unleash a battle cry filled infused with divine energy and up to 10 other creatures of your choice within 60 feet of you that can hear you gain advantage on attack rolls and saving throws until the start of your next turn.
So I was reading that just ahead of you, then it was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
10 creatures?
Your battle cries are so, so inspiring that 10 other creatures that you choose within 60 feet get advantage on attack rolls and saving throws.
All I'm saying is if Ongenagama turns up to be some zealot barbarian and scream, like that scream, that end fight would have been hella useful.
Really useful.
Like,
really
useful. Imagine just inspiring 10 of like the Edgezenians or something. It would have been, that's a wild advantage.
Yeah.
Especially like a big combat like that. That's a wild advantage.
Yeah. And finally, the ability that really makes this thing unkillable, Rage Beyond Death.
Oh, yeah.
At 14th level, while you're raging, having zero hit points doesn't knock you unconscious. You must still make death saving throws, and you suffer the normal effects of taking damage while at zero hit points. However, if you would die due to failing death saving throws, you don't die until your rage ends, and you die then only if you still have zero hit points.
This is insane. That
if
is
you
absolutely-
still have zero hit points. You can have like 15 failed death saves. Just people keep hitting you and just automatically two failed death saves over and over. But one healing word.
And you're like, all good.
And that's on the basis that you ever drop out of rage. But if people keep hitting you to try and kill you, you'll remain. No, in fact, you wouldn't even drop rage by this point.
You basically, by level 15, you have to become incapacitated. If you fall unconscious, which basically means they have to knock you out somehow.
Yeah.
Because they can't do it, but you don't lose consciousness from hit points.
Zero hit points.
So
that's wild.
Yeah.
That is wild.
Yeah. That does create a weird situation, though, where you could, I think, be killed by a sleep spell. Because you have zero hit points.
Yeah.
So they can just automatically put you to sleep and you just and
that's
die.
That's kind of cool, though. Yeah. Like, I feel really like, cool. that's a mean DM, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if that wizard is canny, they might... I mean, that's the thing. You have to go down the whole thing of like, would the wizard actually know that was the basis of the ability and all of this kind of, I mean, it would make sense, I guess. Like the wizard's like, I've tried everything.
I just need to stop you now.
I just need to stop you.
Go to bed.
Sleep. And then just die.
Yeah. this class personifies the headline, Man Literally Too Angry to Die.
Yeah, I mean, Rage Beyond Death, that's like a fucking cool album title right there. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I've listened to Rage Beyond Death during my emo years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I listened to that album and it slapped.
Yeah, it's a great subclass. It's one of the best ones. It's one of the best barbarian subclasses.
And when you've got unlimited rages at level 20, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? At level 20... You just ain't gonna die.
It's extremely difficult to kill you. Because even like if you get like held personed or something, you can just still angry.
Yeah.
You're just still angry. Yeah. You're frozen in place, still furious. Force cage. You're stuck in a force cage, just angry.
Yeah. I mean, how would it? I mean, I guess. Yeah, it's very like minimal. It literally does make you unkillable because I don't imagine there's very rarely does a combat take 10 turns, right? So if you enter rage at the beginning, drop to zero hit points, you're still going, even if that combat goes on for another six rounds, which is ridiculous. So normally it never goes on that long, even for like big boss fights. Someone in that six rounds is going to find a way of giving you one hit point. A good berry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like,
and then
berry,
from that point, you are right back to zero death saves all over again. Even if you get whacked again, you're then right back to just like keep, you could just then pass your death saves. Not to mention, if you roll an at 20, you'll just come back anyway.
Yeah, that's what's so weird. It's obnoxious, man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, we thought
DMs
the barbarian at low level
heads.
Was bad. Imagine if it was like, right, yeah, I power word kill you. Nope.
Nope.
Imagine you get power word kill and you just say no.
Well, I guess that just automatically kills them, though. It doesn't cause you make death saves. I think power word kill still works.
This is true. Okay, fine.
You still
but, like,
can be.
Firestorm, yeah. Fireball, who knows? Yeah. Like, there's a cone of cold
swarm.
At ninth level.
Like, yeah, meteor swarm. You're just, like, standing there, arms out, like,
full Thanos. Just fully Thanos is them with, like, the meteors coming down from
and
the other planet.
Like, yes! Bring it on!
And they're just
and
still
just
standing. Wow. I passionately love this. This is on just the RP opportunities for you as a barbarian. Great. Like, I want to see Unati play above the cellar just to be like, I will not die.
Yeah. And the flavor is really interesting that you're like this person who's just so committed to their deity.
I kind of love the idea that, like, you get whacked, you drop to zero hit points, there's a moment where you lose consciousness, and your deity is just there at, like, the pearly gates going, not yet. Just, like, shoves you back into your body.
Your corner man. It's your corner man. He's got, like, the towel toweling you off.
Okay,
you got him on the ropes.
Yeah. Putting the gel on, like, you know, like, you've got gashes everywhere, and you, like, half your torso is missing. They're just putting the cream on it and the magic sponge. Like, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Keep going, buddy. Keep going.
Yeah. It turns you into Rocky. This turns you into Rocky.
Except you're taking
Mickey is God.
Ninth level spells and surviving, like, it's nothing.
Yeah.
Truly, what? That's the only thing I would say, though. What is the scenario in which there isn't anything left? Because surely that could happen. Like, I just
like disintegrate?
Well, like, if you were to just get, like, straight, like, if you were to be on fire for, like, five rounds, like, how do you avoid, like, your body, your flesh would just...
Yeah,
I guess you just have to say, like, there is divine energy just keeping your body together. Like, it's just, or like,
you're horribly scarred after this.
Yeah, jeez, that is.
You're still attacking people.
Wow.
Yeah, this is. Wow. It's a great. I'm trying to think of, like, an example from literature that fits, or from movies or TV. Off the
I
top
guess
of my head,
actually, it would be like a Silver Surfer or something kind of situation where they just don't, like, really have, like, a corporeal body at that point. Like, it's almost like it could just reform itself, or, like, with divine energy, it just fucking repairs itself or something. Some sort of, like, I could definitely imagine flavoring it that way. Or, like, if something gets, like, destroyed, it's just replaced with, like, glowing radiant energy, but in the shape of whatever just got destroyed or something.
You're being, like, taped together.
Yeah, literally. With divine energy, like, I guess it'd probably be like a, you know, going into, like, the Avatar state or something. It's just like,
you know,
because I guess that's kind of it. Because if you drop out of it, if you drop out of rage,
that's then
it.
You're
because if you're
trouble.
Killed, spoilers for Avatar, but if you're killed in the Avatar state, you're out, you're dead, you know, similar,
pretty similar,
very, very cool.
It's giving me, like, T-1000 vibes, just, like,
That's a good one.
Never stopping. Just not fucking stopping.
That's it. I think, like, even...
Like the original Terminator, even. I feel like Arnold from that is even scarier in some ways. Because he's like, it won't stop! You don't understand! he's like, it won't stop!
I love it. That's what I want to do now, is just walk towards the bad guy, like, real slowly, as they are just like...
Jason Voorhees?
Yeah, literally, just absolutely, like, shotgun to the chest, and it's just like, nope, I'm not even registered.
You become the Terminator, like, when he gets blown up, like when Kyle blows himself up with, like, the tanker and all the stuff. And then she's, like, crying, like, and then you see the Terminator rise,
just
a metal skeleton.
Yeah,
and she's like, oh my God. Yeah, and, like, the audience is also like, oh my God.
Come on.
How is this possible?
Yes, as the DM, I would openly weep at this point. And this is the ridiculous thing. This is from 14th level. This isn't even like a 20th level. This should be like, this feels like a 20th level ability. This is wild. This is wildly strong. From 14th level, you just cannot kill the barbarian. You can't even drop it. You can't even move it out of the fight.
As long as it's raging, which at that point you might as well just always be raging.
One more level and it will always be raging. For a minute it will have rage regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good subclass.
It's a great subclass.
Yeah.
Anyway, Unati, what did you have?
Me, I have Barbarian, Path of the Ancestral Guardian. It's basically, it's my favorite flavor. Just because if you want to engage with your ancestors, this is pretty fun as a flavor.
Jeremy, where's this from? Do you know?
Xenophile's Guide to Everything.
Oh, United's got it. Sorry, apologies. Yeah. I correct myself. I was, Jeremy usually is the books guy, so I, but she got it.
I got it. I had it there. So essentially, some people revere ancestors, many cultures do, and you know, in these tribes, great warriors are revered and their stories stand with you. So these warriors are passed down through you in your body, and they remain with you as mighty spirits. So when the barbarian follows this path, the barbarian contacts the spirit world and calls on these guardians for spirit aid. Barbarians who draw on their ancestral guardians can better fight to protect their tribes and their allies. In order to cement ties to their ancestral guardians, barbarians who follow the path cover themselves in elaborate tattoos, or you could use beads, or you know, you could do intricate braiding in your hair like some African tribes did, many things that celebrate their ancestors' deeds. These tattoos tell sagas of victories against terrible monsters and of other fearsome rivals. So at a third level, spectral warriors appear when you enter a rage. While you're raging, the first creature you hit with an attack on your turn becomes a target of the warriors, which hinder its attack. Until the start of your next turn, that target has disadvantage on any attack roll that that isn't against you. And when the target hits a creature other than you with an attack, that creature has resistance to the damage of the target's attack.
Yeah, so this basically turns you into like a support.
Yeah.
It's a support tank.
But a very good one. Like, I mean, it's making your wizard resistant to like all damage. Like that's dealt. Like that's
pretty like
from a, you know, again, this is a single combatant, but still, this is pretty good. It's pretty damn good. There's a lot of situations where I can imagine that saving someone's life.
Yeah, like it's pretty fun. Like as you're sort of like walking into battle, there are these shrouds of spirits around you, like circling, just destroying shit.
Yeah, there's so many. There's a good, I guess, like a bit of Aragorn flavor with the all the undead like behind him. I'm like, pretty cool.
Yeah, I think what's interesting though is here it's like, hey, look at me. It's more it's like it's trying to get them to come after you.
It's similar
to the Paladin in that regard, because the Paladin has like compelled duel and stuff like that.
I was going to say,
that,
this is like a better compelled duel, is effectively what this is.
After
with the resistance coupled in as well. That's the main thing, the resistance that it gives to your allies. To
better
all the damage
people.
Types. Like that's, because that could be anything then. That could be force, lightning, thunder, you know, whatever it is. Like that's quite a lot of... flexible ability.
Yeah. And then at sixth level, you receive something called Spirit Shield. The guardian spirits that aid you can provide supernatural protection to those you defend. If you are raging and a creature you see within 30 feet of you takes damage, you can use your reaction to reduce that damage by 2d6. When you reach certain levels in this class, you can reduce the damage by more, by 3d6 at 10th, 4d6 at 14th. Which is pretty useful, again, if you are helping and supporting your people and taking care of your tribe and your allies. You can help them by, you know, being like, no, you don't get hurt that much, my guy. I got you.
Yeah. I think as also, this is just another one of our little, we always do these little shenanigan ways that you could rule this, but it says nothing here that you can't wait and see what the damage is and how hurt the other person is before you reduce the damage.
It's when a creature takes damage.
Takes damage. So if you know they're going to get dropped by 10, then, hey, look, you got a chance.
It says takes damage, so it's not even is hit with an attack. It's in fact, it specifies you can wait until the damage, essentially.
Yeah.
That's how I would interpret
and
that.
I don't think there's a limit on this.
It's just your reaction.
It's just your reaction. So if you have a reaction left, then you can do it.
Yeah, it's a fun reaction.
Very useful.
Then at 10th level, you receive Consult the Spirits. Oh, yummy. You gain the ability to consult with your ancestral spirits. When you do so, you cast the Augury or Clairvoyance spell without using a spell slot or material components. Rather than creating a spherical sensor, this use of clairvoyance invisibly summons one of your ancestral spirits to the chosen location. Wisdom is your spellcasting ability for these spells. After you cast either spell in this way, you can't use this feature again until you finish a short or long rest.
It's worth saying what those spells actually do, I think.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So augury is by casting gem inlaid sticks, rolling dragon bones, laying out ornate cards, or employing some other divining tool, you receive an omen from an otherworldly entity about the results of a specific course of action that you plan to take within the next 30 minutes. The DM chooses from the following possible omens: wheel for good results, woe for bad results, wheel and woe for both good and bad results, nothing for results that aren't especially good or bad. The spell doesn't take into account any possible circumstances that might change the outcome, such as the casting of additional spells or the loss or gain of a companion. If you cast the spell two or more times before completing your blah, 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 there's a cumulative blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
Yeah, a cumulative chance for not working. Yeah.
Oh, that's a very important, the cumulative percent chance that
there
25%
is a cumulative
chance.
25%
that's extremely
chance for
important.
Each casting after the first oh, yeah, that you get a random reading.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's, yeah, that's actually very important.
I couldn't see that bit. It tapered
off
on my screen.
The DM makes that roll in secret.
Yeah. The DM makes that roll in secret. Fine, I'll finish it. And then clairvoyance. you create.
Oh, that's also a second level divination spell, by the way.
Yeah. Mm. And then clairvoyance is a third level divination. You create an invisible sensor within range in a location familiar to you, a place you have visited or seen before, or in an obvious location that is unfamiliar to you, such as behind a door, around a corner, or in a grove of trees. The sensor remains in place for the duration, and it can't be attacked or otherwise interacted with. When you cast the spell, you choose seeing or hearing. You can use the chosen sense through the sensor as if you were in its space. As your action, you can switch between seeing and hearing. A creature that can see the sensor, such as a creature benefiting from see invisibility or true sight, sees a luminous, intangible orb about the size of your fist.
Huh. It's a good spell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is fun flavor. It's making the barbarian a little less just trigger happy. It's like this is like, hey, look, why don't you think about some actions?
It's giving me solid on get a gamma vibes.
Mm. It's an odd choice for most barbarians, I will say. Because it's like considering the impact of my actions. Mm. And like it's like a weird thing that
you know
it's
I say?
Barbarians.
I feel like it's an odd choice at 10th level. Like that feels like considering it's a second and a third level spell, there is a chance that someone else in your party could do something similar. That's the only situation where I'm like,
Let me see which the main use for this would be the fact that you're not using a spell slot or material components, and so you can save somebody some time. But the other fact is that both of these, okay, so augury can be cast as a ritual, clairvoyance cannot, but clerics, druids, and wizards can all cast augury, and then bards, clerics, sorcerers, and wizards can cast clairvoyance. Mm. So there's a decent chance that you'll have somebody, like a pretty good chance, that you'll have somebody
have
in your
party
who might have this spell. But hey, it's not a bad thing.
I feel like you could have flavored that in a way where like you actively talk to one of your ancestors or whatever, and they like aid you in, you know what I mean? Like, they just give you knowledge. They don't have any foreknowledge per se, but they might be able to give you a piece of like lore, for instance, that maybe would help
like
you
like a legend lore to here's the thing, would we prefer a combat ability here, because this is the barbarian, that's what I'm wondering. Is it better to try and diversify to non-combat abilities? Obviously the beast has like exploration stuff, but I feel like that's a little bit more practical for what a barbarian is normally going to be good at, whereas with this it may be extremely useful in some parties, but I wonder if something that was more applicable to a combat might be a better ability.
You can summon like one spirit which has more of a corporeal form. You can talk to them. You can do one of the following things. You can either like ask them a question and get like a mini legend lore, or you can use them in combat to like, they like give you advantage by like calling out like the moves of your ally, you know, doing a, we were joking about like the kind of pepping you in the corner, kind of bigging you up and saying, hey, look, swing low, they're gonna go this way or that way, or you know, so you can like give yourself advantage without attacking recklessly or something. Not wildly good, but it's like it's another flavor for combat if you wanted to use it.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it also, like, again, it's clearly like party dependent and game dependent and setting dependent. It depends on what you're playing in, which is pretty fun. And then at 14th level, you get vengeful ancestors. Your ancestral spirits grow powerful enough to retaliate. When you use your spirit shield to reduce the damage of an attack, the attacker takes an amount of force damage that your spirit shield prevents.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah. I feel like that's giving them cool. an a straight attack would be kind of fun. But actually, to be fair, that's 4d6 at this point.
By 14th level, 4d6 force damage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of just like pretty good. That's a free, I mean, you might as well do that every round.
Yeah, it's just like basically like foot tech, you know, like fuck off, it's fine, you've hit my friend, but get the fuck away from them.
You can literally, they can take 10 points of damage and you could retaliate with 20 odd. Like, you know what I mean?
Now,
like,
let me say this though. The tricky thing with this particular one, this particular subclass, is that reactions, if you're using your reaction for this, that means you can't use it for an opportunity attack.
That is true.
And so like, if you were to say you had something like Sentinel, because this is very much like a subclass support that's like, class, yeah. I want to protect those who are with me.
You need to use Sentinel for sure.
Yeah,
Sentinel
like if you had say you had Sentinel and you're like, oh, I can stop the attack entirely. I don't know. It gives you another option, I guess. I don't think it's a problem, but it does. While it's cool to have a lot of options, it does mean that sometimes you'll be like, oh. I used this here when I could have, like, it's like, oh, I used shield, but I could have waited and used counterspell. You know, that wizards sometimes will run into. It's that sort of thing.
But you know, also at the same time, like I said, I personally love building characters with plenty of reactions because I just think it's very cool to be able to have an influence on the thing when you're waiting like a while to like, you know, it's good to be able to like influence and help your allies and like chip in with things here and there. Yeah. So like, you know, this doesn't have what's the range on Spirit Shield? It's like 30 feet. So in that respect, I think it's better than Sentinel, and it will give you at least effectively range on what's like a version of Sentinel. So like, you know, that.
Yeah.
And look, if you're a barbarian, it doesn't have range. It's a way of you affecting the combat outside of your 5 foot or 10 foot range. So that could potentially also be good.
I think I've actually, this is the barbarian subclass that I have played the most, because I actually have a character, I don't think I've ever talked about him on this show. Ooh. I actually have a barbarian character named BG-426. he is a bodyguard robot who was built for like this, basically this powerful artificer guy built him, and the ancestors are actually previous models. Like the tech left over from previous models that he's like summoning to help. But he's explicitly designed as a bodyguard and will when somebody like the ancestral protectors thing happens, you attack somebody. It's like a light starts flashing and like different things to like draw people's attention to you. So that they have a harder time paying attention to other people. But that was a fun one.
That's very cool.
There's a lot of, basically just to say, there's a lot of different ways that you can flavor this. But this is very much like the Dwayne The Rock Johnson, the bodyguard. Was that Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
Yeah.
The bodyguard? Yeah. This is your bodyguard barbarian subclass.
Very, very cool. Yeah, I think overall, the barbarian is an incredibly fun class to play. And I think that especially like now, I think there's a couple classes as well that lend themselves to not just playing like the dumb barbarian. I think there is a lot to be said about, you know, I think what we were talking about before, Jeremy, when we did the little episode on mental ability scores and stuff like that, like barbarians may be very strong and a lot of their like ability is in that, but like barbarians would be very astute like warriors. Do you know what I mean? They would be incredibly efficient, like in terms of tactics. And actually, like there's a lot of life stuff that being a master tactician will teach you. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of like scenarios where I think barbarians can also thrive. Do you know what I mean? Like in that, there's no reason for me that like a barbarian would not be able to see a conversation as a like combat, like a backwards and forwards. They're not going to be particularly skilled at it, but they could see it in that way and therefore not be like, I'm going to say something stupid. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I just think there's plenty of ways you can flavor a barbarian and give them all the same kind of like agency and that kind of thing. Also, if you do just want to play a dumb barbarian that swings at stuff, you go ahead and do you. Like, I mean, it's incredibly fun.
I think the main complaints that I've heard about this class is that it doesn't give you much to do outside of hitting people. Which is true.
Go play a fighter and then come back to me.
I mean, the fighter and barbarian are very similar in that regard.
Yeah.
They're built to hit stuff. Yeah. Especially the barbarian.
Yeah.
And if that's your bag, like if that's what you're into, especially if you want to play something that's simple, barbarian, just rage and hit.
Yeah.
That's really all you got to do. Yeah. Just rage and hit.
And then my advice would be, if you want to play a barbarian but you don't want to you don't want hitting things for your only vibe, we gave a few options earlier on about multiclassing, which are very viable options. You could go for a rogue, you could go for that druid.
If you just designed the barbarian in a way that doesn't have it fall into those classic.
Yes, absolutely.
Like you were just saying, Jasper. Like, for instance, BG426, where he's like, yes, I live to serve. And like, he wants to actually help people. So he's going out of his way to be like, yes. And it, like, for him, it's battle mode. It's not rage. Yeah. Like, he's activating battle mode to try and help people out.
Yeah.
That's a very different feel.
It was a fighter barbarian. It was a multi-class fighter barbarian recently, and I won't ruin anything because I don't know when that's actually coming out. But like, I basically played that instead of like a wild, furious rage. It was like, they had like this, like, I think I called it like blood focus or something. And the idea is like that once they've locked onto a target, nothing will stop them from killing it. But they're very like calm in demeanor. They're very just like pragmatic. They will absolutely do like the most efficient thing to kill that
like
target.
Like the Terminator.
You know what I mean? Yeah, literally like full Terminator. Like there's so many ways that you can flavor rage beyond just like, keeping your parents awake because you're playing D&D at like 2 a.m. you know.
Yeah, and even if you go like relatively straightforward, go watch season one of Fantasy High, Dimension 20's show. Fantasy High. Gorgug is a wonderful barbarian. So much fun to watch. Shout out to Zach Oyama, friend of the show. So well played. And it's not even like a mechanical thing. He just plays that character really well and created a great and compelling backstory.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great. So I think this has been a good little window into the barbarian. I, as always happens when we finish these, I will now immediately go and make a barbarian on my D&D Beyond and add to my 170 odd characters that I've already created on there. I know I have a problem, but it won't stop. Hope that you've enjoyed this. If you want to catch us delving deeper into some of these subclasses, make sure you check out our Patreon. We do get round to these eventually. They do take a little minute because sometimes there is a lot of stuff for us to get to, and so but there will be
five this time, thankfully.
Yes, there is not as many as the wizards, which has taken us a few sessions to get to record that one, but by this point that will absolutely be out. If you want to do more of a deep dive into these, then feel free to check out our Patreon. There's a bunch of other goodies and stuff on there. That is patreon.com/TB Halflings. You can also follow us on all of our social medias at TB Halflings. You can follow me at JW_Cartwright, and Unati, I believe you're also on the Twitters as well.
LU Lewis Nyawo.
Yeah, and you can follow me on Instagram at Jasper W Cartwright. And you can follow Jeremy, but he doesn't post anything. He's just like a creepy stalker who just likes TBH stuff all the time.
It's true.
With no photo. No, yeah, there you go. Where he's got no photo, no nothing. He's just
I actually, you could follow me on both Twitter and Instagram, but I don't remember what my Twitter handle is, and I don't say what my Instagram handle is. So if you find them, I'd never sent a tweet. I barely follow anyone. I've never posted a picture.
Jeremy is like the exact opposite of a troll, but like he's got the features of a troll in that he's a faceless thing on the internet, but they, instead of like negging people or being
positivity
troll. It's just positiveness. He just goes around liking stuff. Like
a faceless force of positivity. Just this weird blank Michael Myers mask showing up and handing you flowers and then leaving.
As we give you, the audience, our wonderful listeners, the flowers handed over by a positive looking Mike Myers, we will go ahead and end this week's episode. Thank you very, very much for listening. As always, we love you lots, and we will see you next week. So long, Shire folk.
So long, Shire folk.
Booyah.
Yeah.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.